The peace and sweet presence of our Lord Jesus be with you all. My heart is a little heavy tonight as the Lord was talking about Miami, and Ezekiel got a message from him. I'm going to share that with you in a moment. But as I worshiped the Lord tonight, we were on a dance floor, and I was dancing with him during worship, but he was very quiet. He had a white shirt on with a collar, which I don't see him that way very often. Kind of a formal looking white shirt, but it had a regular collar on it. And I was having a really hard time connecting with him emotionally. But as we were dancing, because normally I feel his heart and his presence, and it's very sweet, but he was very subdued tonight. And as we were dancing, blood began to flow from his wounds. And I understood that he was suffering deeply. He spoke to Ezekiel tonight about Miami. I asked him to please connect my heart to his that I might share in his burden. The Lord began, "It is no mistake that Miami came up tonight, Claire. My heart is very, very heavy about what is yet to happen there. I wanted Ezekiel's message to get out tonight, so that those who live there and frequent this channel would have a peace about what's coming. Yes, it is horrific, but I will indeed remove them from their bodies rather than seeing them suffer. Some will suffer, but that is not the portion of my bride. She's caught in the midst of the chaos only circumstantially. She is not meant to suffer this. Yet even the guilty I will show mercy to. What concerns me more are the unsaved. Lord, I know I'm weak, but I want to stand with you and pray with you and comfort you. But I just don't have it in me. Can I please have the grace to pray as I ought, even deeply from the heart?" He replied, "You're too caught up in the world, my love. You need to forsake yourself in many things, but I will answer your request because you desire it from the heart, and regardless of your weaknesses, I want to draw you in closer to my heart to share in my grief. It is a lonely place. Why do you suppose I had you pray the Stations of the Cross? There are many, many graces there, many graces to align you with my heart and the sorrow I carry for the lost. Would you pray that every day? I will bless you with my sentiments, and you'll be very well connected to my heart." "Yes, Lord, I will. And also I'll study how to remove myself more from worldly distractions." He answers, "May I say you have much improved? I do not want to discourage you, but there is still more you can do without. Getting this done, getting that done. I'd rather you be done with getting things done, if you know what I mean." "I do, and I've been feeling this for days. Thank you for making it so clear. I want you to be all mine. Let the world go its own way, but you cleave to me. Oh, there is so much comfort in having you truly present to me, resting in me, being still before me. It is a place where we can truly commune with one another, and the less you have to do with the world, the better and the closer we become." And I just want to make a note here. Here he's talking about things that are really not necessary, but would ordinarily be things to get done, like repotting plants and washing windows and deep cleaning the house. "I've been setting these things aside because I know we're not to be here much longer, and I would rather spend that time with him. But still, I get tempted to do a couple of things just that I would do every year at springtime. As it is now, I don't even leave the house to go shopping since Valerie helps me with that. As a result, I have more time for all of you and for the Lord. By the way, the Stations of the Cross is a prayer I learned when we attended the Catholic Church. It's a meditation on the Passion of Jesus. Historical tradition has it that Mary went about looking for the places where Jesus shed his holy blood and cleaned it up rather than leaving it to be trampled underfoot. It is a meditation on the different events that occurred as he was carrying the cross. And a lot of those events are written in the scriptures. It is said that while she was in Jerusalem, she continued to frequent those places and pray. The meditations are the events along the way, such as when he was condemned to death, when he embraced the cross, when he fell under the weight of the cross, when he met the women of Jerusalem and told them not to weep for him, but for themselves, when Simon was assigned to carry it, when he was crucified and when he rose from the dead. All these things are written in the scriptures and remembered in the Stations of the Cross prayer. It's a beautiful devotion, and I've rarely felt as close to the Lord as I do when I commemorate his passion in this way. I also find his strength to suffer persecution, rejection, and other things we go through on earth, knowing that he made the ultimate sacrifice and still loved his enemies. I remember, for instance, how he was condemned to death, though innocent, when he stood before Pilate. And I pray, Lord, as you stood before Pilate, you offered no defense, but rather willingly allowed false accusations to be hurled at you. And yet you still loved. Please grant me the grace to love those who unjustly accuse me. And then I pray the Our Father and go on to the next meditation. Although most traditional Catholics have several other prayers that they pray with it, I very often get deeply into the struggles he had carrying the cross, which was more than he could bear. And they conscripted Simon of Cyrene to carry it the rest of the way. At this station of the cross, I pray for strength and charity to help others carry their crosses when they become too much for them. I've avoided this prayer in recent years because it was so painful, but now he's asking for it, and I will obey. Yet there is a certain sweetness in meditating on what he suffered for our sakes. And I'm absolutely positive he suffers the same way in the spirit over the divisions in the church, martyrs that are tortured and killed, children used as sex slaves, and all the awful things that go on. Some people would say, but that's over with, he's risen. And yes, he is risen, but he must watch his people who are tortured and murdered, and he cries. He weeps bitterly for those who are suffering, so compassionate is his divine heart. Jesus continued at this point, "This prayer is so pleasing to me because it offsets the false teachings of prosperity that have infiltrated the church. Did I not say, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me? Yet today, where is the cross being preached? All of you, my children, are much in need of strength to persevere as Christians. The bride must fully resemble the groom, and I did not come on this earth to satisfy my earthly, fleshly cravings. I came to serve and to die for you. I died for you and opened the gates of heaven for all eternity. And now I ask of you to deny yourselves and follow me. Is that so unreasonable? For these light and momentary troubles, you're rewarded with an eternity of bliss. But I have not called you to come to me alone. I wish for you to bring others with you. And this is truly a labor calling for sacrifice and steadfastness. When people see your generosity in following my example, they are moved to come to me. They see your motivation as love for me and for your brother, and that draws all men to me. The abundant life is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace even in chaos, joy even in suffering. Yes, indeed, this prayer strengthens you for the journey. Yet your journey, my bride, is coming to a close. So do what you can, for the hour will soon be upon you when you can do no more, and you will regret what you didn't do. Look to the courage and strength of those who are suffering martyrdom right now, and strengthen your feeble arms and failing knees. Rise up and shoulder your cross. Much fruit is coming forth from its midst. And then he wanted me to share the message from Ezekiel with you. Ezekiel began, "My Jesus, you have asked us to sit with you tonight and simply wait on you and keep you company. Lord, what is on your heart and mind tonight? Immediately I am seeing you, Lord, and I standing out in some sandy marsh grass just at the waterside of an inlet outside of Jacksonville, Florida. It is about 7 p.m. and the sun is very low on the horizon, leaving a light misty hue as the tide goes out. There is still sufficient early evening daylight to be able to see for miles down the coast, and you're searching the skyline for something. Standing beside me with your traditional robe and outer layer, you have placed your hands upon your hips, occasionally stretching on your toes to look a bit better over the sandhills. I follow your gaze off to the right, looking south, and suddenly, far away in the distance, it begins to appear, a small plume of smoke ascending and growing higher and wider by the second. We have not heard any explosion or type of sound, only a muffled poof, accompanied by a slight rise in the sand beneath our feet, hardly noticeable at all. My immediate thought is, Miami. In fact, someone just sent us a dream in which warplanes were flying overhead and she distinctly heard the name Miami. Inside of me is a sinking feeling, Lord, and I'm sick at heart. Now, watching what was only moments ago a faraway column of smoke, has become a massive, fully defined mushroom cloud. There's no mistaking it. Only one thing could cause that kind of cloud, and it still be perceived 340 miles away. Is this the bombing of Miami that you showed to us a few years ago? Yes, it is, Jesus replied. I had prayed and prayed that somehow all of this could be averted. But as it is, time cannot stand still forever. I have given every warning, every grace, called for and received every fast offering and sacrifice throughout the world from my faithful ones. In the end, the fathomless oceans of my mercy have mostly been spurned, ignored, and scorned. I sent them prophets, teachers, signs in the heavens, and signs on the earth. I would have moved the whole universe for these whom I love deeply with all my heart. Many of my prophets and teachers they persecuted brutally. Many of my servants have been cruelly tortured in every way imaginable. And yes, many have paid the ultimate price. After excruciating sufferings and defilement, these faithful and innocent souls came under the long and drawn-out agonies of the most slow and horrid deaths. Yet before the blade touched their necks, they were gracefully transported out of their bodies and mercifully rescued in the last moment. For with my own hand I drew them up and into my most merciful heart, the last and most sure refuge of the soul. Hundreds of onlookers testified to the faces of these martyrs, looking up with radiant angelic smiles, even praying loudly and boldly, yelling to those who watched in the crowds, "Save yourselves from this wicked generation. Give your lives to the one true God, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, Savior, Redeemer, the true Messiah." One such precious daughter, seeing me coming, simply repeated my holy name, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. As our hearts and eyes met, and I tenderly drew her into the safety of my most loving arms, cradling her beautiful soul to the bosom of her God. How could they have known, as they awoke that morning, that these would be the last hours of their life here on earth, and that within an instant of time they would be so wonderfully transformed, surrounded by the entire company of heaven, with all of its glories, and forever elevated to the high altar of martyred saints. These were days unlike any other days, save those throughout history, when the greatest love that can ever be shown is indeed exposed in all of its brilliance and grandeur. For no greater love has one than this, to give one's life for their God and for souls. I tell you this, these occupy the highest places in heaven, eternally praising my holy name and that of my Father. They are before the throne of God himself, and forevermore will abide with him there.